Hare Krishna. I thank you very, very much for inviting me to come to this broadcast. I must say that I am changing my opinion about internet a little bit. It is really useful in situations where we all want to come together from different parts of the world and associate in the safe space of Krishna Katha or Krishna consciousness. I would like to address all of you today on a subject. It's called Every Crisis Bears Within It a Chance. I will be talking for about 50 minutes or so, and then leave time for questions and answers at the end. So I have to note this down because I'm usually so enthusiastic that I have written it down. So if you have any questions during the time, I suggest that you put them in the chat, and then Madan Gopal, who is our host, can note them down, and then at the end, when it comes to question and to the Q&A session, you can read the questions out to me, please, so that I can respond to them. Good. Let us start by offering our obeisances to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Prachadine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatya De Shatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Whenever a crisis comes into our life, what is inside of our heart will show. Pressure, when applied to a lemon, brings out lemon juice. When pressure is applied to a mango, mango juice comes out. When pressure is applied to an onion, then strong smelling onion juice is coming out. Pressure, always, or a crisis, will always bring out what is inside of us. Sometimes it's very good, and sometimes we understand, well, there is still something I can work on, and I need to work on. In my little lecture today, I would like to discuss how we can establish a fulfilling, rich consciousness, character, and inner space, if you so want, so that even in crisis, we remain unshaken and something beautiful comes out. I would like to start by telling you from in the Shastras about someone who really was in an extremely difficult situation. It was a person who had been cursed to die within a time limit, and it was known there was not much he could do about this curse. He had received his death notice. The span was, you have exactly 7 more days to live. Poh. He was a king. He was married. He had a son. He had responsibilities to a whole state. And all of a sudden, the death notice came, cutting him away from everything. You know that I'm speaking about Maharaj Parikshit. How did he react to this? He thought, this is the Supreme Lord who is acting through the curse of this boy who has cursed me, this person who has cursed me. I think this is noteworthy, and it deserves that we stop for a moment. When something happens in our life, we become more anxious, more disturbed, more rebellious when we do not see a meaning behind it. We think it is unfair that this crisis has happened to me. The moment we can relate it to a higher purpose, a higher being, disguised or hidden meaning, then everything becomes manageable. Like Parikshit Maharaj, he thought, now the Lord has come in the form of this event where I was cursed, and he will take me with him, to him. So this was the way he framed the experience. Everything which happens to life is very much dependent on how you frame it. You can frame one situation in one way, and it becomes terrifying and terrible. But if you understand it in another way, then it becomes something else. This was the first thing which we can note in Parikshit Maharaj's life. Then the second is, he understood, I have this limited time left. Now, what is the best use of this time? He really wanted to know this. In the first canto, the whole narration ends with this question which he had. I wish to know what is now my most meaningful activity where I know I just have this limited time left. He went into this question. And he immediately he gave his government into the hands of his oldest son, and then retired to the banks of the Ganga. It was made known that the king would be there, and he would hold his last meeting there. And at the end of the meeting, he would leave his body. All the saints who were so grateful for his very wonderful administration. All the, let us say, people who were competent to speak on this question, what is the most meaningful activity for someone who is bound to die? No? They assembled and came to the bank of the Ganga, and then Parikshit Maharaj addressed them. He spoke four verses to them, in which he expresses, in my mind, a wonderful way how to deal with crisis. And then he had one request, which in my also in my mind is something we can focus on. So let us dive into the situation in your mind's eye. Go to the Ganga. Ganga is flowing very beautifully, undisturbed by what goes on in the human life. She's always there, the eternal witness. And there is a place at the banks of the Ganga where there are shady trees, banyan trees, and it is there where Parikshit Maharaj sits. Everyone knows him. He's the emperor of the world, the most famous person at that time. And the saints arrive from various parts of the universe. It's an ocean of people which are there before the king, who's in a very solemn mode, a very serene mode, a very grave mode. And he addresses this assembly. He has a deep voice. This voice is used to order commands. This voice is used to order armies. This voice is used to give instructions to the treasury to spend millions of gold coins for certain reason, for the reasons he seems fit. The king now speaks, and there's a hushed silence. Some of the people who have assembled feel sorry that such a righteous ruler, a captain who could steer the earth through its most challenging times, like when the Kali Yuga personified arrived, and Parikshit confronted Kali and chased him away. This most powerful entity or emperor who came on a chariot whose wheels roll like thunder, it's described. He was so impactful, so charismatic, if you so will, is now accepting his death, the greatest crisis, and he is speaking now. What will he say? First of all, he talks in a very, very mild way. There is no thunder in his vehicle. There is no command in his voice. He has left that behind. And he says, Aho vayam danyatama nripanam mahatamanu grahaniya shila Ragyankulang brahmana pada sochat durat visrishtam patagaya kama. If you want, I can actually put this for you up. Gokrishna, can you send it like a pin it like a comment? It's in Canto 1, Chapter 19, Text 13. So those of you who like to follow it on their own mobile phones can follow along. 1:19-13. The fortunate king said, "Indeed, I am so grateful because I can see so many great souls have come here to give me their favor. We are the most grateful of all kings who are trained, I'm trained to get favors from the great souls." Generally, you saints consider people like us, who are royalty, as refused to be rejected and left in a distant place. So he says, "I'm so grateful that you all have come." You know, when you meet good devotees, it's the first sign that Krishna has given you mercy. If you would like to know, have I gotten the mercy of Krishna? Then see, have you met devotees who are kind to you, who give you their favors? Because the devotees carry Krishna in their hearts. And when they come into your life, oh, you know, now I've gotten the attention of my Lord. And then he humbly says, usually exalted people like you don't come to me. You consider us refuse. Refuse our stool, urine, and the water which has washed a normal person's feet, you know, after he traveled on the road, and now it is, the feet are sweaty and dusty and so on. They must be left at a distance. So the saints, they're thinking, these kings, the royal people, are after might and power over this world. They are interested in money, and they are usually fighting and so on. So we don't. They have not a mind for spiritual life. So therefore, they are not mixing with these people. That's the first verse. The second verse, which comes now, you might. I do not know if this will work. We will try to put it now on your screen. Tasyeva migasya paravarisho vyasakta. You can join me. Vyasakta chitasya griheshva bhikshnam nivedamulo dvityashaparupo yatra prasakto bhayamashudati. Then he says again what he perceives as the cause of his crisis. He says, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the controller of both the transcendental and mundane worlds, has graciously overtaken me in the form of a brahmana's curse. Due to my being too much attached to family life, the Lord, in order to save me, has appeared before me in such a way that now, only out of fear, I will detach myself from the world." He's able to frame his situation. This is Krishna's mercy. I would have gone on like a normal king, ruling countries, they usually have several wives, having ample opportunity for sense gratification, being a man of money and influence. Now the Lord has detached me from these death knells. You know, I can't take them with me over to the other side when I leave like this. In fact, they bind me. They, you know, material things are like this. When you go and you want to approach them, they act like glue. You touch them, and you can't pull yourself away any longer, although you try. I'm sorry, I hope I have not shocked Aditi Narayan and Haribol and your good wife. No, I have been separated. I was attached. These things were sticking to me. I was sticking to them. I could not move. Now I can think of the essence. And then he goes on. This is a very famous statement, he says. It's the text 15. If you want, please sing along with me this verse. We will put it on the screen for you. I'm waiting. Yes. Here it is. Tang mamopayatam pratiyantu vipra. Maybe we should respond to this. Tam mopayatam pratiyantu vipra. Ganga cha devi drita chittam ishe. Ganga cha devi drita chittam ishe. Just see the king singing this verse in great surrender. Dvijopashrishta kuhakastakshakova. Dvijopashrishta kuhakastakshakova. Dashadvalam gayati vishnugata. Dashyalam gayata vishnugata. So he says, oh, everyone here, oh Brahmanas, just accept me as a completely surrendered soul. And let Mother Ganga, the representative of the Lord, also accept me in that way. For I have already taken the lotus feet of the Lord into my heart. Let the snake bird, or whatever magical thing the Brahmana created, bite me at once. I only desire that you all continue singing the glories of Lord Vishnu. Ah. So he says, I have taken shelter. I'm now surrendered. When you are surrendered, dangers are no longer frightful. I was sharing today with the devotees in Durban that when I was a little small boy, I understood how surrender makes you free from fear. I would go with my grandfather. He was a tall man from Sweden, very big and strong. He looked like a Viking. And we would go on a walk. So the moment we left our house, I would pull my little hand out of his big hand, and I would run around, and I would have this mantra, not mantra, this statement. I would shout out, "Can alone, I can do it alone, I can do it alone." So I would run here and there, and I would try to climb trees. I was extremely energetic. I needed to do something with the energy. But only until there was a man coming with a dog from the other side. I had a bad experience with dogs when I was a child. Once a dog jumped on me and teared my pants apart. And his teeth were touching my soft bottom. But I think there was no blood drawn, but I was totally shocked. And so whenever the dogs came, free-roaming dogs, you know, shepherds, how do we call them, these very aggressive German dogs? What? German Shepherd, yes. And they came. I ran back to my grandfather, and I put my hand into his, and I was sheltered. And whenever we passed the German Shepherd dog, I was going, and I felt so sheltered that there was no problem. There was no danger. So the moment the conditioned soul feels genuinely sheltered by the Lord, fear goes away. Fear is only there the moment you are not sheltered. At that moment, fear can even overtake you. So Maharaj Parikshit is expressing this. I have taken shelter here. I've taken shelter at the lotus feet of Ganga. Ganga Mai is coming. She comes directly from the Lord. Therefore, I have also taken shelter at her lotus feet. We say this in our temples. There are always these bowls which are filled with Charanamrita, the bathing water of the Lord. And it is said in the mantra that if we put a drop of Charanamrita, or three drops is good, into our hand and sip it, then Yamaraj, or the god of death, has no influence over us. He cannot get to us and disturb, and so on. So he feels, because he is under the shelter of the Lord. And he says, not even the direct, immediate cause of my death will be frightening. That was a winged snake, a snake bird. Now I know when we are in America, our knowledge about snakes comes from the zoo. And we have never seen a flying snake in the zoo. At least I would be very, very surprised. We might even think, is such a thing existing? And I must say, I was also thinking, snake bird? Then someone told me that one was seen in Bengal, but still I didn't believe. But then I heard from the workers of the Govardhan Retreat Center, which we are building near Giriraj Govardhan, that when they were opening the ground to get water, actually they built something like a big container where the rainwater could go in, all of a sudden they met upon a snake which they had never seen before. And this snake began to come at them. They were very shocked, and all of a sudden the snake began to fly in the air, and then they knew it is a snake bird. You know, it had wings. And I said, can I please see a snapshot on the mobile telephone? I like to see that. And they said, we tried, and someone made a snapshot, but the thing was so fast, and we were shocked so much that even the one person who had the presence of mind to just try to make a snapshot could not do it. They were reliable people. They were not people just talking. So even such a mystical being which can go everywhere and come everywhere and kill. And Parikshit said, I'm not afraid because of this shelter. And then he comes to his final statement, which I think is another lesson for us, how to deal with crisis. He then asks for something. We will have the verse now for you on the text, and you can sing along. I will sing one time one line, and then we all sing the line together. Yes, here it is. It was there. Sorry? It is there. Good. I can't see it, but so let me say. Punascha Bhuyat Bhagavat Janante, please. Punascha Bhuyat Bhagavat Janante, Rati Prasangas Chash Tat Ashrayeshu, Rati Prasangas Chatat Ashrayeshu. Mahatsu yam yam upayami shrishtim. Mahatsu yam yam upayami shrishtim. Maitryastu savatra namo dvijebhya. Maitryastu savatra namo dvijebhya. He says, again, I'm offering my obeisances unto all of you. I pray, please now pay close attention to what he prays. Three desires. I pray that if I should take my birth in the material world again, I will have complete attachment to the unlimited Lord Krishna. I will have association with his devotees and friendly relations with all living beings. These are three things to aspire for while you live, even. And I would like to go through them one by one. First, he wishes to have complete attachment to the unlimited Lord Krishna. We all know that our attachments are sometimes our greatest enemies because they do not allow us to move forward in our journey. But we seem to return again and again to them. These attachments have sometimes also be called habits. Habits is something which you automatically fall into without planning or considering. It's just, it pulls you and you do it again. So to give up these harmful attachments, they are also good attachments, but most of them are binding. To give up, to be able to give them up, there is no greater happiness in this world. There is no finer joy than detachment, and there is no greater miseries than to be bound to attachments and habits. And these are not just behavioral habits, they also are mostly what our thought patterns to which we are habituated. No, this constant narrative in our head, and so on. Yes, but you cannot give them up easily. But Krishna says, if you have a higher attachment, it is possible. So if you are attached to Krishna, then all harmful attachments lose their hold on you. So therefore he prays, let me have firm attachment or complete attachment to the unlimited Lord Krishna. Then he wants to have association with his devotees. We already said, when you meet good devotees in some ways or another, where there was emptiness in your heart, there comes fullness in your heart when you meet them. Where there was confusion, there comes clarity in your heart. And finally, and lastly, he wishes to have friendly relationships to all living beings. If you want to be happy in this world, you must cultivate three relationships. If you want to not be struck down by miseries, the three relationships will help you. One is, when you see greater devotees, you should feel you should almost worship them. You should feel great joy and great inspiration, and you should serve them, not envy them, not envy them. When you meet people who are on the same level as you are, then you should make friendly relationships with them and not compete with them to try to do better or look better or perform better. No? And when you meet people who are less than you, you should be compassionate towards them. You should not feel contempt towards them. Or this is even there when you are criticized or when people act not in an encouraging way or less pleasing way. The moment you come on that level and also then say unpleasant words and unpleasant thoughts, you start to suffer. The moment you see a higher person and you envy him, you start to suffer. The moment you see someone on your level and you want to compete with him, be better than him or her, you start to suffer. But when you can become free from these activities, you become very, very happy and untouched by material miseries. So that's why Parikshit says, I want to have friendly relationships with all beings. I don't want to, these complicated relationships which bring about suffering. He wants real friendly relationships. By the way, these three desires he has are very, very important. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, he gave a wonderful and doable practice how to become Krishna consciousness. And his whole practice can be summarized in three points which all relate to these exalted desires which Parikshit Maharaj has. We should have Nama Ruchi. Ruchi means taste in the name. The name is Krishna, no? Taste in Krishna. Then we should Vaishnava Seva, we should serve the Vaishnavas. And Jivaraya, we should be compassionate to all the various living entities. That will be good, that will be better. All these three desires, my dear devotees, they come up all over the Bhagavatam. I know in the 10th canto, there is in the 41st chapter, Krishna enters the town of Mathura, and that was something. The Brahmanas came out of their homes and worshipped him as he went through the streets. Everyone and everything seemed to stop because Krishna is so all attractive and so beautiful, and he went and together with Balaram, he just walked. He had many spiritual adventures, but at the end of their how do you call in English? This was spinning, when they were spinning through the town, you know, moving about. Then Krishna felt there's one devotee. He's a humble devotee. He is dealing with flowers. He's a florist. He makes garlands for people. Sometimes his garlands are also worn by deities. Sometimes they are sold and they are worn by people. And he's Sudama, my great devotee. And he came, he decided to just look for the house of Sudama. And then he entered the house of Sudama. Just imagine the Lord comes and visits you. personally in his home. Sudama was so happy. He was very poor, so he ran to the neighbors to get some cushions so that Krishna and his entourage, there was Balaram and the cowherd boys, could all sit properly. And then he brought forth flower garlands for Krishna and Balaram, and with great love he decorated them. But then he felt, all these flower garlands, they were made for others. They are not so good. And he sat down and very quickly made one particular flower garland from the best of flowers which he had. And that he added this as a second garland on Krishna. And Krishna was very pleased. He looked with his large eyes on him, and through this so much mercy came into Sudama's heart. And then Krishna said, you may ask for a boon now. Sudama asked for three things he had been thinking of about. He knew what he wanted from the Lord. He was not bewildered. And he said the three things. I have them here. He asked for unshakable devotion for Krishna, the supreme soul of all existence. He asked for friendship with his devotees. And he asked for transcendental compassion for all living beings. Transcendental, it's not always easy. But he asked that he is able to feel this compassion for all beings. So this is Parikshit's desire. My dear devotees, my dear friends, and my dear skeptics, if during your lifetime you can develop attachment to Krishna by hearing his holy name more and more, so that the consciousness is made free more and more from all the dust on it, all the coverings. When you can have good relationship with the devotees, you know, friendly relationships where you acknowledge these devotees, they want Krishna, they want to serve Krishna, they are great souls. And when you can finally have a compassionate attitude to all living beings, that is success of life. That is good. Now, to ask, you know, now let us go back. Parikshit Maharaj must have had a tremendous amount of faith in order to not be disturbed in this crisis. Do you agree? You know, how I met today, we can walk in German. There's lockdown, but also we can walk, and I always meet an 80-year-old person while I walk. And we stopped. We have to keep 2 meters distance. And I said, look at this field here, which it is full of yellow flowers. We call it in German language Raps. You know, it smells very nice. I said, this is a sign of the Lord. Only 3 days there were no yellow flowers. Now it's for a kilometer, it's a huge field. This is full of these yellow flowers which smell. And this 80-year-old person said to me, you believe in God? I said, oh yes, since my childhood. But if there is a God, why is there misery? And then I said to the person, I could see the faith was very little, very little. I gave an answer to this question. I explained that there is a small plan which we have, and there is a bigger plan which the Lord has. And sometimes our small plans don't see the entire picture and what is good for the world, but the Lord's bigger plan can see this. So I went into this discussion, and the person was satisfied. But as I said goodbye and continued to walk, I was thinking, yes, when there is crisis, there is pressure. And when there is pressure, always the things come out which are there. Also, your maybe weak faith in Krishna. Everything is brought out by a crisis. You can see very much. And I have seen many in this situation, in crisis situation, in all kinds of crisis, who have asked me, Maharaj, how can I strengthen my faith? How can I come to a faith which is realistic faith, not immature faith? And to answer this, I would like to give three faith builders which help you to build up your faith so that you are in a safe place whenever there is crisis. A faithless person cannot go to take shelter and therefore becomes anxious when there is a crisis. So there are faith is built on three pillars. First pillar, philosophy, or let us call it knowledge. Second pillar, people who are inspiring. And the third pillar, practice, where you make your own experience. Let us briefly go through these three points. When you have knowledge of Krishna's wonderful presence in this world and in your life, when you have knowledge about how Krishna created this whole world as a backdrop for the living beings to enact their desires, if you have studied all this, and if you have found answers to many questions, then all your doubts go away. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita and elsewhere, Krishna describes, gives four analogies for knowledge. The first is a sword. It cuts you from illusion. The second is a boat. It carries you over troubled waters. The third is knowledge is like a lamp which illuminates a room. You can see all of a sudden, this is there, this is there, this is there. And the fourth analogy of knowledge is fire, like a fire that can burn away wood. The fire of knowledge can easily burn away the karma which keeps you from moving forward. So the first is, we need to rest, if we want to strengthen our faith, spend more time with the Bhagavatam, with the Bhagavad Gita, so that you are becoming strong. The second is people. Have we not seen, when we meet strong spiritual people who have a good character, we understand that they see something, they feel something. Today I listened to a lecture on the Bhagavatam. It's actually an online course on the Bhagavatam, which I can really recommend. by a wonderful devotee, Sutapa Prabhu from the Bhaktivedanta Mena. Gokrishna will put in the link for you so that you can see where the next Bhagavatam class is. Maybe the web page where the information is given. He informs that it cannot be found. But look for the Bhakti school, huh? Yeah, look for the school of Bhakti and there you can find it. And he is just such a wonderful learned devotee, but he's also such a devotee, you know. You feel, he couldn't be like this if there wouldn't be a spiritual reality to which he relates and which has made him so convinced and has transformed him so much. And so people, philosophy builds your shraddha. People, and when they talk and when they act, build your shraddha, your faith. And last and not least, is your own practice, where you have an experience. Sutapa shared with me that once Prabhupada was asked why he is so confident to challenge all kinds of scientists, philosophers, theologians. What gives him the, let us say, the confidence to say this Krishna consciousness is so true and it is so right? And then Srila Prabhupada answered to this devotee, I think I've written it down. How can I believe them that Krishna does not exist when I see him every single moment of my life? You know, how can you convince me that I have no tamos when I see it every day? I take this thermos with me even when I come to America because it's the best thermos I've met in this particular human incarnation. How can you say there is no thermos? I see it every day. I drink from it from morning till evening. So practice. And I want to repeat this word. Practice, and I would like to repeat it a third time, practice gives you an experience of the spiritual reality. And at that time, you are safe, you are sure, you are confident. Your shraddha, your faith, is not based on an illusion, it is based on reality. Summary. The question how to deal, I've written the title down. Every crisis bears within it a chance, an opportunity. We have seen the example of Parikshit Maharaj, how he said, he had the opportunity to become free from the glue, the stickery glue which glued him to the world, how he could become free. So Krishna had sent him this. This was Krishna's mercy to cut the chains. He could frame it into another picture. But this was only possible because he had a deep, deep faith. And we have discussed three faith builders. Do you remember? First was philosophy, knowledge. Second was people. And the third was, also starts with P, practice. No? Philosophy, people, practice, the three faith builders which you can have. So then, when you have faith, then you will be able to see and practically act on the chance which is there for you in your personal crises in the world. I think that was an avalanche, isn't it? I'm so enthusiastic personally because, I give more lectures than ever before. I can have time to work on my books finally. I've just finished one book. You will like it. It's called Magical Minutes. It's deep immersive spiritual experiences and how to make them. It is really, really nice. It is an outreach book, but it is something very pleasing for people who practice already, for devotees. And I have good company. We have a little ashram, and devotees live above us and under us, so we are in good company. There is a good atmosphere here. We have friendly relationship to study with each other. So yeah, but seeing Aditya Narayan and Ratna Radhika, and also I saw earlier Madan Gopal and Manasi Ganga, and I've seen also other here whom I remember seeing, Ram Vijay Das. I've seen you before in my life, and I think also I have seen, now it is gone, but Kathleen Knapp, I've seen you, I think also, and you, no, that is Krishna Prana, no? Of course, yes, I knew all the time, but the name is unfamiliar, so therefore I did not know. But yes, Krishna Prana is there, so I'm very, very happy to be related to all of you. It's a great honor. Good. So we have we went only 6 minutes over time. Now it's 7. I want to see if there are now some questions. So I think the best is if it goes through our Madan Gopal, because he's the host, and he will read the questions out to all of us here so that we hear it. Yes, Madan Gopal, what is the first question, please? Wonderful question, Ratna Radhika. There are two ways to deal with a crisis. One is to run away from it. The other is to walk away from it. I would like to give the difference. To run away is an irresponsible way of dealing with it. To just say, oh, this is crisis, I don't do anything, this is from Krishna, and then escape. The other, more responsible and mature way is to walk away from it. What does this mean? You try your best in the situation to make things work with your human abilities, your amount of knowledge, your skills, your tolerance, your whatever needs to be applied in this situation. But then when it does not, after you have done your best, Ratna Radhika, you will say, oh, Krishna had another plan. And then the irresponsible person just doesn't do his bit. No, he doesn't do his bit, and therefore is irresponsible. Thank you for the question. Yes, Madan Gopal, the second question.
Second one is from Krishna Prana. During this current world crisis, how can we maintain in these points that will help them see the meaning and purpose in what's happening, while also empathizing and not minimizing whatever suffering they might be going through.
Yeah, this is a very necessary balance which you need to find, to encourage people, but then to not, let me say, almost ignore the vast amount of anxiety which is there. It takes the balance of a surgeon who has to do the cut without losing the patient. You need to help people to deal with their present situation. And what this means is you need to help them find their rhythm again. Many people are just, when the crisis comes, are brought out of their rhythm. And rhythm, what is rhythm? Rhythm is composed of a few things. A good rhythm is when you have some type of spiritual engagement, when you have physical health and emotional well-being by good relationships, and when you also interact with society nicely. Just like our heart needs a good rhythm, boom, 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 boom. It needs to pump between back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Life needs to be in a healthy rhythm. And there are not just two factors, boom, 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 boom. There are four factors which make the rhythm of life healthy, the pulse of life happy. Healthy, and this requires spiritual engagement, physical and emotional well-being, and then social well-being. That's how we are created as human beings. We need these four things to be intact. And for many people, the present crisis, they are not affected, let me say like this, they may not be affected by the virus, but they are certainly affected by the restrictions on their lives. Financially, emotionally, they cannot meet the people so easily, only over mobile telephone and so on. And therefore, at least in Germany, people who had been affected in this way by the lockdown, there's more suicides now because they have to face the tremendous vacuum in their lives, the emptiness in their life, which they can't, you know, they can't distract themselves so well. I mean, how many internet forums can you visit a day? How many movies can you see? How often can you put your room in order? And so on. And what is about the financial security? And so on. So yes, we are not. They are not able to fill the inner void with these things, and therefore this rhythm. First, we need to find our rhythm, good rhythm in this. Check your life. Is your spirituality strong? Is your physical well-being strong? Emotional? And do you do something for the people? Are you socially aware and connected? Well, then find a rhythm between these four factors. Like this. Thank you. Maran Gopalji, what is the next question? Yes.
How do we ensure that what is developing inside of us is consistently mango or lemon juice and not onion juice? In other words, how do we prefer to apply these elevating messages we hear to Harikatha at times of pressure?
Even a man under pressure should never lose his focus. The other day I did something which I'm a little shy to say in the computer net, but you know, I had heard that Muhammad Ali had died. I mean, a few years ago. Muhammad Ali is a very talented boxer. Now, as a child, I was very, very impressed by Muhammad Ali. And I thought, well, he was a religious man, so let me see something about Muhammad Ali. After all, he has died. And I have seen one, he had one goal. He wanted to be the best boxer. And sometimes it was difficult in the boxing ring because there was another person who also wanted to be the best boxer. But sometimes he, although he was sometimes receiving some solid beating in the boxing ring, he kept his focus, and therefore he won many battles, so to say. It's maybe a little awkward, the example, but what I want to say is, even when you're in the ring of life and you receive some disappointments, you need to keep your focus. The second thing is, and now please listen very attentively, this little advice will save your life. You have to stop the negative chatter of your mind. Oh, this will not work out. Oh, this will not bear fruits, and so on. And to remain well balanced, you also need, and I know this is difficult for you as in spirit to practice, to accept, but you need to move about. You need some physical exercise. Otherwise, you just become fat and moody. And it will not be good for you. The two things, physical and mental, are really important. I remember a talk where Prabhupada said, the body is like a tree. We should not cut it. We should cultivate it so that it bears the fruit of self-realization. I thought, wow, what an interesting statement he made. No? That is, we are not ignoring this. Yashoda Dulal, in the midst of talking, some embarrassing senility came in. Senility, senile, when one is senile. And I don't remember now your question, therefore I don't know if I did full justice in my answer. What again was the question, Madan Gopal? Please repeat. Yeah, keep your focus on them. That, okay, you can't yet, these are maybe difficult situations when there's times of pressure, but you remain focused. And even if you can't reach your goal so nicely, you say, tomorrow I will try. I may have fallen 1,000 times, but I will rise. Again, there's a beautiful poem. I will translate it to you. Come, come, whoever you are, saint, beggar, and loser. You may have broken your vows thousands of times, and yet again, but I do accept everyone who comes to me. A beautiful poem. It's from a very deeply religious person. Yes, Krishna will accept you at every moment you can turn to him. Look at Viritasura. He had been cursed to be a demon. He was fighting the devatas, but at the end of his life, he prayed these beautiful prayers in the sixth canto, and Krishna said to him, "I will be right. I will take you right to my side." Krishna will see if we surrender to him. He will take care of us. So even if you are one day not so successful, even if the pressure is so disturbingly strong, don't lose your focus. Try again. Try again. Give your best. And stop that negative chatter which says, "Oh no, you're useless, it will never work," and so on and so forth. Which comes when we are in crisis. The crisis only becomes a crisis when it is here in the heart. As long as it's only outside, no problem. Nothing is a problem when we are right by Krishna's side. Good. So I will now look secretly, I will look now at the, we are now over time, and I want to respect the times on which we have previously set, so that you can do all the other things which are necessary to be done. I thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to address you. For us here in Germany, it is now 8 o'clock in the evening, and there are still some things I require to do quickly before I retire. So I wish you all the best. It was a genuine pleasure to spend the time with you. I have only seen the ones who are now on the screen. These are four people actually, and before that Madan Gopal and his family, but I know that there are many more out there, and it was a genuine pleasure to speak with you about this very, very important subject. If you would like to deepen a little bit what you have heard, I would really request you to go to the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, 19th chapter, text 13 to 16. Mm-hmm. And you can read it in your own leisure time and deepen a little bit the subjects, because I think there you will find a lot of encouragement how to take how to utilize the chance which is there in every crisis. And there will be always crises in this world, just like this day then, which will be followed by the night. There will be smooth sailing in life and then a crisis. Don't become shocked when there is a crisis. It's the normal. This is the place where these things happen.
Thank you very much, Guru Maharaj. So I'd like to request His Grace the Mind Prabhu, our President, to offer a few words. Today's India, so it's a very auspicious day for us to start and jumpstart our spiritual life. Anything done today will never go fail. And so please kindly shower your mercy like you've already done, and continue to shower your mercy for Maharaj and all of us. On behalf of all the devotees, I want to thank you. And His Grace the Mind Prabhu, say a word.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Maharaj. This means so much that you took some time to be with our Sangha and shared some Krishna Katha, Bhagavad Katha. It was very, very wonderful. I know all the devotees really relished your katha there, and we very well fondly remember this class. And we hope that if this situation prolongs, that you will give us another opportunity to have your sangha also in a few weeks. So thank you so much, Maharaj, for being with us today.
Sorry. Yes. Yes, certainly, certainly. Good. Thank you. Then let me see, there are all these comments coming up from Diksha and Delhi. Yes, from everywhere. I thank you once again very much. I suggest that we are now concluding this by saying a very nice prayer for auspiciousness to the world. And we can use the prayers which we chant every Tuesday. We will just chant the one line. Please repeat after me. Om. Namo. Bhagavate. Narasimhaya. Narasimhaya. Wonderful. So I'm saying goodbye. Hare Krishna. Hari Bol.